Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, New Living Translation of the Bible, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." Hallelujah. Let me read it again. "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." If you are truly serving God, you can't be enslaved to money. If you are enslaved to money, you are not serving God. You may assume you are, but you are not serving God. We had a blast on Sunday. I'm just going to quickly remind you of a few words, and then we get into tonight's message. Okay, remember on Sunday I told you that money is either a tool, okay, or an idol. Money is either a tool or an idol. It's either your money or your God. Okay, it's either your money or your God. I told you on Sunday, I said that you can be rich and enslaved to money, and you can be poor and enslaved to money. So it's not about whether you have money or you don't have money. There are people who are rich and enslaved to money. There are people who are poor and enslaved to money. We said it in another way. We said you can be needy or greedy, but the symptom is the same. How do we know? You're stingy. Okay? You can be needy or greedy. How do we know that? You are stingy. You are unwilling to give. I told you on Sunday that generosity is the antidote to greed and need. Now, that's amazing. Okay, when we say generosity is the antidote to greed, it's easy for people to understand. That if a person is greedy, you always think what you have is not enough, so I need more. That maybe if you are generous, then you will break the hold of greed. But people cannot just understand that. But when we say that generosity is the antidote or the cure, okay, for need, somebody's wondering, seriously? Absolutely. And okay, and we're going to press a little bit into that tonight. Okay, and I told you, I said, we don't give to receive. We give because we have received. If all of these things are strange to you, it means you didn't come on Sunday, I'm going to encourage you to get the CD, okay? Or go back on Facebook, it's still there, free of charge, and go and watch the live stream. I told you that giving is an expression of gratitude for what you have received, and an expression of faith for what you are about to receive. And honestly speaking, when I was done on Sunday, I was done, but I had this nudging in my heart that we were not done. Okay, it's not like I knew what we were going to talk about, but it was just a strong conviction in my heart that we were not done. And on Monday, as we were praying in the morning, it just came like, you know, this is it. You know, and it came gradually. Some of those who were praying with me on Monday would remember that I mentioned two of the three principles I'm sharing with you tonight. As it came to me, I mentioned it as we were praying on Monday. And between Monday and now, it has gone from two to three. And so essentially, if you want a subtitle for tonight's message, you will call it the three keys. Okay, the three keys. Because what it gave me are three keys, okay, that gives a man access to real success. The three keys that give a man access to real success. It's a continuation of Sunday's message, but it's like it's taking that message and taking it to another level. The three keys that gives a man access to real success. And the first one is gratitude. The first one is gratitude. You want to experience real success, the first key is gratitude. Now watch this. Gratitude reveals your sense of appreciation for what has been given to you. When you are grateful, it means you truly understand and you appreciate what has been given to you, okay? When you are grateful. People who are not grateful is a function of they don't understand what they have. As we go on tonight, you would understand what I'm saying. I need to run because of time. If you don't appreciate what you have, it will not appreciate in your hands. Pay attention tonight. If you don't appreciate what you have, it will not appreciate in your hands. Now, you know that the Bible said at the feeding of 5,000 that Jesus said, where do we find something to give these people to eat? All his disciples had this scarcity mentality. They said, we don't have that kind of money. Another one said, we have five loaves and two fish, and then they followed it with a rebuttal. But what is this among so many? The same five loaves and two fish that they said was not enough, Jesus took it and did what? And gave thanks. You need to always understand gratitude precedes increase. If you are not grateful for what you have, it will not grow. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. No matter how challenging, you know, some of us, we look at our lives and we feel, I should be further along, you know, than this. I should have achieved much more than this. I should have gone further. My life should be better than this. But if you look at this life you have, and it does not dawn on you that it can be worse than this. So I must be grateful for this. Some of those who were praying with me on Monday, you remember that. I told you, you may not be married, but be grateful that you are. Because to him that is what? To join to the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. You may not yet carry your own child, but be grateful you are married. You are not all by yourself, okay? You may not be living where you want to live, but be grateful you are not under the bridge. So it starts with what? With gratitude. What you have will not appreciate if you don't appreciate it. The Holy Spirit said, I should tell you that ingratitude is the enemy of possibilities. Okay, I'm just giving it to you as he gave it to me because of time. He said, ingratitude is the enemy of possibilities. You know, this is our year of possibilities. And many of us are pressing into my possibility. I'm pressing into my possibility. To him that is joined to the living, there is hope. The word hope means possibilities. It means in this year, anything can happen if you are grateful. Okay, ingratitude closes the door of favor. You're the kind of person that you look at what you have, you say it's small. You look at what you have, you say it's not enough. You look at what you have, you say this. I deserve more than this. Okay, I want better than this. When you're that kind of person, the door of favor, okay, closes on you. Look at what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, the ungrateful is blind to grace. And I'm going to show you that from scripture. He said, the ungrateful is blind to grace. That's why they cannot reproduce. Listen, God will never give you everything. He will give you a seed. Are you getting this? Anything God wants to bless you with, he gives you a seed for it. So when you're the kind of person that does not know how to be grateful for seed, it's because you are actually blind to the fact that, look, this thing that I have, though small, I don't deserve. So you are blind to grace. When grace is extended towards you, you can't see it. And he says, such people cannot reproduce. Good example, Michal, the daughter of Saul. In the whole of scripture, the only woman who was barren and could not conceive. Because she could not, you know, David was dancing, he was rejoicing before the Lord. Michal said, why were you disgracing yourself? You know the difference. Michal was born the daughter of a king. She did not know what it feels like to be handpicked. She doesn't know how it feels like for you to be the eighth son, and the seven sons have gone ahead, and they said, none of these ones, and they said, we will not sit until it comes. Do you have another son? Jesse said, I have this other little boy, but he's with the sheep. There's a lot of history, a lot of stories about how that they did not call him, okay, to that selection process. But then Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he comes. Watch this. It's not just that he was anointed. He was anointed in the very front of the people who did not consider him worthy enough to be king. None of his brothers was friend enough to send for David. They said they are calling everybody. Where is David? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, but David was conscious of that. Even before he became king, he was grateful for the fact that he was anointed. Oh, is somebody listening to me? I don't know who this is for. You have not been crowned, but you are anointed. And because there is a gap between your anointing and your appointment, you are becoming discouraged and depressed. Because you see, God gave me a word. God gave me a prophecy. God's hand is upon me, but my manifestation is far removed from my anointing. And if you're not careful, ingratitude will set in. And the anointing you carry, you will despise because people don't recognize what you carry. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. As at the time David was dancing, it was not yet the King David that we know about. Michal said, why are you disgracing yourself? He said, it is before God who chose me and replaced your father with me that I am dancing and rejoicing. See, gratitude is an acknowledgement. Look, I know that grace has been extended towards me. When God appeared to Solomon and said, ask me for anything. Solomon said, why should I ask for anything? He said, you've done the best. You've been gracious to us that David should have a son on his throne. He said, that is too much. For that son to be me, you have tried. I should ask, okay, sir, give me wisdom because of your people. God said, listen, when you recognize grace, reproducing it will not be a problem. Let me read a story to you. We talk about this guy when we talk about unforgiveness. It never crossed my mind that unforgiveness is a function of blindness. It is when you cannot recognize that grace has been extended to you. That is why you will find it difficult, okay, to be gracious to somebody else. Now look at Matthew chapter 18. Let's look at this guy again tonight. Matthew 18 from verse 23, the Bible says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Watch that. Let me read that again. Verse 26. At this, the servant fell down on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled his debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found his fellow servant, or rather one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Verse 31. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" In other words, if you are not blind to grace, you should reproduce. If you are not blind to grace. But you know what the problem was? Some of us, we look at what we are going through and the little lifeline that God is sending us, and we feel like, yes, God has done something, but it's not enough. Yes, God has saved me, but it's not enough. So the magnitude of the grace of God you have enjoyed is lost on you. Because what he owed was greater than what this other person was owing him. So what he was forgiven was lost on him because he was entitled. Please pay attention to this. There are people who are asking God for stuff, but who feel at the back of their minds that God holds them. You understand what I'm saying? You feel like God owes you. So when God, whatever God does is not as much as what you expected him to do, you are not grateful. But there was something I saw here I never saw before. Before now, I stopped at the guy was thrown into prison. Ah, so this guy is in trouble. Then it dawned on me this afternoon that the trouble that this guy is in is still doing press up. Ingratitude closes the door of favor. See, ingratitude is not just about now. Ingratitude is about your future. Let's assume this guy was in prison for 1 year. Let's just assume. What do you think the perception of his master is towards him going forward? What is the perception of the fellow servants to him going forward? So when he comes out of prison, what's going to happen to him? Are you getting this? Simply because, and watch this, what he was forgiven was massive, but it's lost on him. If there's anything you want to do to access real success, whatever it is that you have, take it in your hand. Even if you don't know the value of it, be grateful. Say to yourself, it's not important, God would not have given me. If somebody listen to me, I don't know what they said about your child in school. I don't know the report they wrote, but look at your child in the face and say, if this child is not valuable, God would not have given him to me. God would not have given her to me. Father, I'm grateful. Everybody may say your job is a dead-end job. Go back to work tomorrow, clean your desk, sit down behind it. Say, Lord, I'm grateful I have a job. It is gratitude that reveals the potential of what is in your hand. Did you come to church tonight? Gratitude is what will do what? Will reveal to you. They called it 5 loaves and 2 fish until Jesus gave thanks. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When you begin to thank God for what's in your hand, it will open your eyes to see the potential of what you carry. Did you come tonight? The second key that gives a man access to real success is generosity. 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 You know, the Holy Spirit said something to me this afternoon. He said, give it is not an expense. It's an investment. And you know, that changes everything. Giving is not an expense. It is an investment. Okay? Dr. Mike Murdock said that the money that leaves your hand does not leave your life. It only goes into your future where it multiplies. Watch this. Say after me, there is a God. He is the Most High. And I trust him. One more time, there is a God. He is the Most High. And I trust him. So this is the issue. If I trust what God says in his word concerning my money, then my money becomes a tool. When I reject what God has said in his word concerning my money, then my money becomes an idol. Are you getting this? The money that leaves your hand does not leave your life. It only goes into your future where it multiplies. I don't know whatever the reason is, but for some time now, the Holy Spirit has been challenging me. And that's what this message series is all about. That for a long time, it looks like our giving, as far as the church is concerned, that our giving was attacked. So some of us backed off. I don't know about you, I'm guilty of it. And then we became a little bit passive. So a lot of times we are not talking about giving. In fact, I said to myself, people that don't have, don't give. When they have, they will give. So let's not talk about giving, let's teach them how to have. The Holy Spirit said, Generosity is the cure for need. So as long as you are not talking to them about giving, you are not helping them to break the hold of need. And it's been challenging me for a long time. I have finally succumbed. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something the Holy Spirit said to me. Now listen to this. You may want to write this down. He said, tithing is the training wheels of generosity. Write it down. Tithing is the training wheels of generosity. It is only the starting point. Just before you start arguing. Okay? When we start talking about tithing, we're saying, is it A or A? It's the beginning. I expect everybody to understand the meaning of training wheels. Okay, when you have a bike and they add two wheels at the back so that you don't fall down until you master how to ride a bike, those two extra wheels is what they call training wheels. Tithing is how you start learning how to give. Please, you need to get this. And what happened to a lot of people is you allowed yourself, or we allowed ourselves, to be backed into a corner, and they told us that the debate or the argument was between tithing and giving to the needy. As if that was all the giving that we were told to do. So in case you want to take a list tonight, I want to give you at least 6 directions that you are supposed to give to. Okay? Simultaneously. So if you stop tithing, please, I want you to tell me what you want to do with the remaining 5. That's why it will dawn on you that, look, making a habit of tithing is how you master giving to God. Okay? Strategically. Okay, so you give to the church. And I'm not going to use the language of tithe so that you understand what I'm saying. So I tell you, give to the church. So if you have a problem giving to the church, okay, put that aside and let's talk about the remaining 5. And then I'm going to ask you, what has the church got? What do you have against the church? If you can give the government, why won't you give the church? Who is adding the most value to you, the church or the government? At least in Nigeria. Amen. And then somebody says, but then we need to give to the poor. I still make bold to say, no institution in the whole of this nation is helping the poor like the church. So when you don't give to the church, you are robbing the poor. Nobody is helping the poor like the church. Are you listening to me? So in case of, I don't believe in 10%, okay, it's okay. The Bible says you give to your parents. And that one is connected to your health. The Bible says you should give to your pastor. Amen. And then the Bible says you should give to other ministers. Because somebody thinks when I say give to your pastor, let him that is taught in the word. That's not the scripture for your pastor. That is the one for other ministers. Those who teach you the word, the Bible says communicate to them in all good things. The one for your pastor is that those that labor over you, consider them worthy of double honor. And anytime you see honor, especially in the Old Testament, it has to do with money. It's not prostrating. Said to tell me, Malachi, if I am your what? I am your God. Where is my honor? If I am a father, where is my honor? And he was talking about offering. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. He was talking about... So when he says honor your father and your mother, he's talking about what? No, he's not prostrating for them. I ask your neighbor for me, is it your money? Or your God? Because the moment you begin to struggle to let it go, it is because you don't trust God as per what he said in his word concerning your money. Hallelujah. So he said, give to other ministers. Give to your pastor. Give to fellow believers. Look at your neighbor and tell the person, where is my entitlement? Hallelujah. I hope you know that you owe your fellow believers. Amen. Look for another neighbor. Ask the person, where is my entitlement? Now, Listen, look at me. Look for somebody that has not given you anything before. And ask the person for me, where is my entitlement? Hallelujah. And then number six, watch this. Number six, you are to give to the less privileged. Amen. So if you are not giving to the church and you are giving to the less privileged, 1/6. If you are not giving to the church and you are giving to only your parents, it's still 1/6. So what if I do 10-10%? That's why tithing is the training wheels. Because if you do 10-10%, that's 60%. Amen. And some of you listening to me, you know if you take 10% of your income to your parents, they will walk you out. Hallelujah. Pastor, but the money is not enough. Exactly. The Lord shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The objective of the argument is to limit you to your income, not to his riches in glory. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says, be careful. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And before now, we are taught he's talking about, so sowing bountifully is sowing 1 million, sowing sparingly is sowing 10,000. No. If you concentrate on one or two out of the six, you are sowing sparingly. Hey, I'm not sure you got that. So some of you that have tried to give God an offering that will shake the basket, you are supposed to do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's the sixth basket that should be shaking. Pastor, it's not enough. That's why you have to now stretch out and begin to do it by faith. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So don't give to the less privileged and say, the church understands. God understands, I don't have enough money. That's the issue. You really don't? Because to him that has, more will be given. To him that does not have, even that which he has shall be taken. Now you see why a lot of people are broke now? It's this scarcity mentality. What I have is not enough. See, it's painful when I see people who don't have, who are now greedy. It's a terrible combination. Some people don't know that they don't have. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Just because you bought a Tokumbo car and you are paying rent, and then you don't have, you are arguing. Because you think, you know, you have calculated it. At least my salary, if I'm not. Let me ask your neighbor, how much is your 10%? How much? It's amazing. Somebody collects a salary of 100,000 and is arguing over giving God 10,000 when he does not realize he's supposed to be sending out 60,000. And I'm saying, some of you, if you send 10,000 to your father, he will say, oh, wait, come. Which part of what I did for you are you appreciating? Is it the school fees or the fact that we kept you alive or which one? What's this about? You know, God told them in Malachi, this thing you are offering me, go and offer it to your governor and see whether he will accept it from you. And as they did in Malachi, many of us are still doing today, forgetting that the God who created the heavens and the earth, listen, you are not getting it. What you are giving God is God's money. Yes. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and those who live in it, as in plus you, plus your money, plus the percentage you are arguing about, everything belongs to God. God is just playing with you. God wants you to be... Are you getting this? Let me help you understand. So I bought this decoder and I gave to my kids in their room, okay? Once in a while, when I need to use it, I take it to use it. So one day, my son started to argue with me. Daddy, why do you keep taking our decoder? We want to watch TV and you have taken our decoder. So I told him, plus you and your TV and the decoder, I own all of you, in case you don't understand. After that conversation, they stopped arguing. I said, that you are watching is because in fact, that you are still alive. I'm telling you the truth. Especially between 1 and 18 months. Just take you back to the hospital. Something happened. We don't know. We just saw him like this. We woke up like this. There was a time your very essence was up to me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You could have just been sick and I refused to take you to the hospital. Who can arrest me? In fact, mortality rate, they will put it in statistics. Forget about me. I'm talking about you and your parents. Because many of us are arguing now, but my daddy is rich. My daddy has money. He does not need my money. Exactly. Do you want to live long? Do you understand? Some of us have generous parents. this will not be your portion in Jesus' name. The major reason why some parents outlast their children is because they have generosity figure out and their kids are stingy. And the man keeps giving. The man is generous and he keeps living. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24. Let's read it from the Amplified Bible. There is the one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. And there is the one who withhold what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. This equation does not make sense to men. That out of all that comes your way, there is a percentage that is yours. We've always been talking about the percentage we should give. That's the wrong percentage. What you need to figure out is the percentage that is yours. The rest does not belong to you. And the Bible is saying, the reason why you are broke, the reason why you are needy, is because you are chopping more than your quota. Scripture. There is the one who scatters generously abroad, and yet increases all the more. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. Verse 25 says, the generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. Can you see that? Reaping the generosity he has sown. So you don't like the church and you don't like pastors, both your own and other ministers. That's still 3/3. What about the remaining 3? Because all they told you was 1/3. Is it that you don't like your fellow believers too? Amen? And what you should give them should not be stipends, should be investment. Hallelujah. Can we move on tonight? We're talking about 3 keys that opens a man, that gives a man access to real success. This 3rd one is very crucial. It is enterprise. 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 So what are the 3 keys? Gratitude, generosity, enterprise. In that order. Because a lot of people want to go into enterprise. Oh yes, pastor, talk to me. Now you are telling the truth. No. If you don't have gratitude and generosity figured out, you will mess up enterprise. Luke chapter 19 and verse 11 to 13. Hill City is tired of hearing me speak about this scripture, but believe you me, I saw things that I never saw before. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, New Living Translation. The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said, and because it was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God will begin right away. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. Please pay attention. Invest this for me while I am gone. Let's read that verse 13 again from the classic edition of the Amplified Bible. Calling 10 of his own bond servants, he gave them 10 minas, each equal to about 100 days' wages or nearly $20. That is not up to $20. It never dawned on me before today. We've just talked about the mina. Now the value of the mina is dawning on me. It is less than $20. Okay? How much is that in naira? Help me. Use 363. Yeah? 7,200. Somebody say 7,200. Okay, let's round it up. Say 8,000 naira. Come on, somebody say 8,000 naira. I never understood the reason why that guy hid his master's money until this afternoon. You are going to be made king. That shows how wealthy he was. Then he gave them what? 8K each. I like it in dollars. Less than $20. If you give me nearly $20, what would I do with it? Look at what he said to them. Classic edition of the Amplified Bible. He said, that's equal to 100's wages or nearly $20. And said to them, buy and sell with this while I go and then return. Buy and sell with 8K. I am going to be a king. That's why I told you to watch this. Gratitude and generosity are the bedrock of enterprise. If you don't have gratitude and generosity figured out, you will not double into enterprise. If you don't double into enterprise, you will not experience real success. Are you here now? The only tenable reason for doing business is to glorify God and benefit humanity. The reason why many of us are discouraged, we're tired, we back off. Oh, by the way, I said enterprise. I didn't say start a business. Okay, you can be in paid employment and yet have that enterprise attitude. These guys were in paid employment, by the way. Sorry, did I say paid employment? They were servants. And in that time, servant was not staff. Servant was property. They were not even entitled to salary. Are you listening to me? So you see, your prosperity is tied to your attitude more than what your status in life. It's about attitude. Okay? When you do business for selfish reasons, real fulfillment will elude you. And that's why some people are rich and depressed. It amazes me all the time. They have cars in the garage. They are living in a big house. And then the person says, I want to kill myself. And you're wondering. And see, depression does not discriminate. There are broke, depressed people. And there are rich, depressed people. And they have the same problem. They are fixated on themselves. Some other persons I know, maybe something happened, you know, hereditary and all of that, blah, 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 blah. You see, but I'm talking about this self-induced depression. When you are focused on yourself, you are too small to be your reason. So I looked at that small guy, you know, that guy that buried his master's talent. I found out that his problem was, when you look at what he said, it was all about him. I know you to be a hard man. Reaping from where you have not sown. I know you. My perception is truth. That's pride from a broke person. How I see it is how I see it. You are a hard man. Reaping from where you have not sown. Guess what he said after that? I was afraid. So I did with your money what I decided to do with your money, regardless of what you asked me to do with your money. It's all about you. And that's the highway to poverty. The highway to impoverishment. When all you are thinking about is yourself, how you feel, how you see it. I'm sure you're following me tonight. How you see it, how you feel it. Let me wrap up this message. Final principle. How you handle other people's affairs will determine how far you go in life. How you handle other people's affairs will determine how far you go in life. Look at chapter 19 and verse 16 again now. The first servant responded, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Look at verse 17. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be governor of 10 cities. I say, wait, it's still $20. I never saw this before. We always said Mina. And we imagined Mina was something. Oh, I'm not sure somebody's getting this. It's an 8K responsibility. But it is your key to becoming the governor of 10 cities. Oh boy. You want to get it next week? Tell your neighbor, get it tonight, get it tonight, get it tonight, get it tonight, get it tonight. Less than $20 was what he gave them, and all this guy did was turn $20 to $40. That can't even buy ticket. Sorry, registration form. To join the party. Not to contest the election. Not to talk about becoming a governor. Oh, did I say governor? I mean chairman of a local government. The connection between where you are and your deepest desires is how you handle the affairs of other people. Are you getting this? Yes, sir. I mean, I just sat down, it blew my mind. Lord, what am I doing with my $20? My $20 opportunity. My $20 responsibility. Because even after turning 20 to 40, 40 is not comparable to the reward. See, the problem is this. Ingratitude will rob you of the ability to see the potential in what's in your hand. If that guy knew that one talent is equal to governor. I'm not sure you got that. If he had an understanding. Now, you know, the Bible says the guy was going to be made king. The Bible said, and his people hated him. So they sent a delegation saying, we don't want this man to be our king. This guy bought into the propaganda. See, all that thing about, I know you to be a hard man, is boo-boo. He was not expecting him to come back. He was not expecting him to be a king. I make bold to tell you, the mina he returned is not the one they gave him. Oga has come. He's calling for accounts. He looked for it. Maybe he even borrowed itself. He had squandered the $20. He lacked vision. The other guy saw the $20. But this guy is going to be a king. Amen? You remember that guy that borrowed Saul money when he wanted to see the prophet? When Samuel invited them to the feast, where did he sit? On the same table. Oh, I'm not sure you got that. That servant that was with Saul. Sometimes when I say some things, you guys just look at me straight. Is it that you don't read your Bible? As in Saul in the Bible, 1 Samuel. Saul said, they said there's a prophet in the city. Saul said, I can't go to the prophet. I don't have any money to give to the prophet. The servant said, I have something we can give. Let us go. When they got there and Samuel invited them to the feast the following day, please, where did the guy sit? On the same table. How you handle other people's affairs determines how far. When I talk about enterprise, listen, it's about this attitude of turning 1 to 10. Especially one that belongs to other people. You're a school teacher, training other people's children to be presidents. Even when you don't have one of your own, is the key. I'm not sure you're getting this. So you're a driver, treating somebody else's car as the final car you will drive before you die. Your own car. I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. Because I've met people who are careless on other people's behalf. Who say, my oga has money, so let's help him waste. They don't know how to conserve. They don't know how to multiply. They are not enterprising. So they will not what? Go far. Look at the second line. I'm not sure you noticed it. Verse 18. The next servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made five times the original amount. Verse 19. Well done. The king said. The first one. Well done. The king exclaimed. The second one. Well done. The king said, you will be governor over five. If he knew that just going the extra mile is the difference between saying and exclaiming, that how people are responding to you, how life is treating you, is not a function of how you look, it's a function of how you deal. That nobody hates you, they are just mirrors. They are reflecting what you have put in. That every step you take, every word you speak, everything you do is a seed. And the same attitude that you sow with is the same way that harvest will come to you. So he says, be careful. Because he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Tell your neighbor for me tonight, if you don't make it, it's your fault. Tell the person with what you have heard tonight. Let's say it the way we say it in Nigeria. If you don't blow, it is your fault. I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. Everybody listening to me, there are people's affairs in your hand. It is not just their affair. It's your ticket to prosperity. How you handle what belongs to other people. You know, I tell young men all the time, can I say this again? That the sister is your sister until she becomes your wife. So until she becomes your wife, she's somebody's wife, she's somebody's daughter. The happiness of your marriage in the future may be dependent on your courtesy today. Amen. So you think you can rubbish my wife and then fast forward into your future and marry a damsel? It doesn't work that way. Are you listening to me? Papisha was in the past. I'm sorry. Fantastic. Be sorry. And sorry does not have a lot to do with the past. Sorry has a lot to do with the present. For you to say, I am sorry, and you have not changed your ways, you are a scammer. Amen? I'm telling you the truth. Some of us, it's not relationship, it's at work. You are scheming at work. Then every time we are calling, don't wake up tomorrow morning. It's not necessary. Because praying with me at 5:30 will not cut it. If you don't change the seed you are sowing, they that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping, but bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return, carrying his sheaves with him. But it is with the measure with which you measure, shall it be measured back to you. So it's not enough for us to confess. It's not enough for us to declare abundance. The real key to the abundance is what? Gratitude, generosity, enterprise. I think going further, we would have to spend some more time talking about enterprise. But this much is good tonight. Let's rise up on our feet and let's bless the name of the Lord.